Okay. The last 2 days of new material were about Greek theorem. That was Monday before the test, Wednesday after the test. Okay. Okay, we had circulation, which I defined, as I gave the term on Wednesday, but the computation of it we'd already been doing implicitly. This thingamajig. Circulation comes out positive if the field is turning with your boundary loop. So if your field is turning counterclockwise, so I guess if you think of it as turning to the left, there's other cases where it's not really turning per se, but it's shearing. I'll explain that. And it's negative if it's turning or shearing clockwise. And then we had flux. Now, the flux was positive if fluid was leaving your region D on net. So you can think of that as it's spreading out, it's going away. And negative, if instead of spreading out, it's coming together, piling up, converging. So, what that means is if you have, say, a small region D, and say this, and you look at the value of this partial Q partial X minus partial P partial Y inside that, and you look at a point and this comes out say negative. That means your vector field is going to be turning or shearing clockwise. If it's positive, then at least near that point where it's positive, it's counterclockwise. If you look at this thing and it comes out positive at a point, then near that point, if you think of your vector field as fluid flow, the fluid is getting less dense there. It's spreading out. Whereas if this number comes out negative, then near that point, your fluid is compressing, getting more dense. Let's see if we can draw some little pictures here, some examples of this. So
So sometimes people actually call this the 2D curl. It's measuring how the fluid is, you could say, curling. Right? And then this would be the 2D, what's called divergence. I say 2D because it's divergence and curl of a two-dimensional vector field. Good. Some people only like to use curl and divergence for 3D, though. So, spreading out, another word for spreading out would be diverging. It's like another word for compressing can be converging. Yeah, it's getting more dense. I don't really like converging there, but it doesn't seem like the right word for me.
Well, but
I'll put it. I don't think diverging or converging are the best words to describe the fluid flow, but
oh well.
This div is short for divergence. Curl is not short, it's just literally curl.
Depends on what you desire, right? If you want conservation of energy and your field is a force, then it needs to be conservative. And what does conservative mean in terms of curl?
Zero.
Exactly. Conservative means a curl of zero.
Very good. And this is going to go to 3D as well. It's just that curl becomes more complicated in 3D. Okay. So.
But I'll add that remark.
In general, remember you can have stuff with like a region with a hole in it,
and you can't have a gradient over the whole region because something bad happens in that hole and you can go take a loop around and break conservation of energy.
So what you can say is it's locally, right, a gradient.
If you just look at a small region where it's the P and the Q and the partial derivatives are nice and continuous, and if the curl is zero, and you have this nice small region with no holes, right, no holes where the things got discontinuous, then it's fine. Right? Nearby, it's a gradient. Mm-hmm. But I want to draw some pictures now.
So here's some formulas, and we'll look at the divergence and the curl of these formulas. I really think you need to get your intuition in 2D for this stuff before you go to the 3D.
because it's so much harder to draw the vector fields and even to understand them well when you look at a computer plot when you go to 3D. So I think you want to understand div and curl in their 2D versions first, and then it's easier to take it to the third dimension. All right, so here's an example. X comma 0. Another example, y comma 0. And then here will be x comma y. And then negative y comma x. Okay, so these are really easy for you to compute the curl and divergence in their 2D sense. They're really simple formulas, but they illustrate several of the different cases up there of whether the field is turning or shearing clockwise or counterclockwise, or neither, right? You know. There's even a fancy name for divergence zero, right? It's called incompressible, right? Because it corresponds to an incompressible fluid flow where the density never changes anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what about this one? If Q is 0 and P is X, what is the curl? What is partial Q partial X? 0. What is partial P partial Y? It's not 1. It's taking the Y partial derivative. That's an X. 0 minus 0. So it's just going to be a 0. And then, so that means this field is neither turning to the right nor to the left. No shear either. And if you sketch the field, it looks kind of like this. The field has no vertical part, so it's horizontal.
Gradient.
And yes, it is a gradient. It's a gradient of x squared over 2. The field looks like this. The bigger x gets, so this is PQ again, just in picture. Right? It looks like that. When X is positive, the field goes to the right. When X is negative, the field goes to the left. Okay. Now, when you look at that picture, would you say that if that's fluid flow, is the fluid spreading out or compressing or neither? What do you think?
Spreading.
Yeah, spreading out. And sure enough, take the divergence here. Okay, take the x partial derivative of x, which is 1, and then the y partial derivative of 0, which is 0. So 1 plus 0, that was 1. It's positive, and sure enough, the fluid is spreading out. This one's more interesting, in my opinion. This is where you really can't say it looks like it's turning exactly, but it's shearing. Okay? Okay. Okay, so maybe we'll do a sketch first. Okay, so it's horizontal again, but now which way does it go, left or right? Well, that depends not on x now, but on y. So if you're up high with positive y, then this field is going to have a positive horizontal part, and it's going to the right. So we get something like this. And as you bring y lower, the field is going to still be going to the right as long as y is still positive, but the magnitude will get smaller. So you think it was fluid flowing to the right, but not as fast. Then you take y below 0, so it's negative, Now the flow is to the left, and the further you go, so you get y negative but bigger, then the flow gets faster.
Okay.
Now imagine you were a boat sitting in some ocean currents that were like this, right? How would those currents turn your boat if the boat was just sitting there unpowered, right?
Clockwise.
Yeah, your boat would get turned clockwise, right? Okay, so I predict the curl will come out negative because clockwise is negative. Right? Okay, let's see. Okay, partial q partial x. So partial 0 partial x, so that's a 0, minus partial p partial y. So minus partial y partial y. So minus 1, so yep, negative 1. Okay, so that's clockwise shearing. The field itself isn't turning per se, but it's shearing. It's the technical word for that kind of thing. And okay, let's see about the divergence. So does this thing look like it's really spreading out, or does it look like it's compressing? I don't really see it.
It's still, it's just there.
It's incompressible, and we can confirm it. So partial p, partial x, partial y, partial x is 0. Okay, and then partial q, partial y. So the y derivative of 0 is 0. So 0. So this is incompressible. This one we've seen before, right? X, y, this is that radial field. It always points straight away from the origin. And the further away you get from the origin, the faster it's going, if you think of this fluid flow, right? Because as you get further from the origin, x comma y gets bigger. Okay, so definitely spreading out, right? And let's look at the divergence here. Partial x and partial y, so what's that add up to? What's the divergence of this one?
One, two.
One and one, so two.
One
plus one. Okay. And yeah, it's definitely spreading out. Everything's leaving the origin. And moreover, if you're in any particular region, say you're here, there's a little bit of slow flow into this region, but then there's faster flow out of the region. So if you imagine some little region here, the flow out is faster than the flow in. So the if you imagine this as fluid flow, the density would actually be decreasing at the same rate everywhere. And it doesn't look like it's turning or shearing to me, and sure enough, partial q partial x, so partial y partial x, 0, minus partial p partial y, so partial x partial y, also 0. Irrotational is another word for that. Not rotating. Yeah. Lots of words. People have come up with lots of words for these things. But the math of it is just divergence or curl is positive, negative, or 0. Maybe I could make this one a little more interesting. Something we haven't seen before. I'm thinking I want to have a spiral flow. And I think I know how to do it. I think if I just make it say x minus y comma x, then it'll be a spiral flow. I'll double check on Wolfram Alpha, but if I remember correctly, I'll make that one a little more interesting. Let's see here. Yes. So I'm going to change that one. This will make it more interesting. Okay. X minus y comma x. show you what it looks like.
Circulation and flux come from the Green's theorem?
Well, those are just words, yeah. But Green's theorem is how you can justify our interpretations of them. Okay. There it is. It spirals. It turns and it's spreading out at the same time. Yeah.
And it's outward. Yeah. So if it was coming in, that would be a compression?
Yeah, you could multiply both components by -1 and it would be a compression. Well, we could do that if you want. Yeah. Since we haven't had done a negative divergence example yet.
X.
Let's see.
Y minus X.
And
negative X.
Yeah. Sure. Here? Okay. Still going. Now it's a compression. It's spiraling in, and is it counterclockwise or clockwise?
Clockwise.
Yeah.
And that's a sink, right?
Yeah, that's also called a sink at the origin. If we wanted it to be counterclockwise, just flip it upside down. So take the mirror image over the x-axis and see.
That is.
Well, no, that's
coming in towards.
No,
like from two sides. It's lateral.
It
cannot
have
parabola. Okay.
Lateral divergence.
Well, okay, fine. Or go back to the way it was. It's fine. Shouldn't try and wing it too much of all these things. This is fine.
Okay.
Okay, so it's
kind of spiraling in.
It's a little hard to really see the arrows. This one looks a little nicer. And kind of these swirling ones are pretty cool. Yeah. Anyways, so there it is, and okay. It's spiraling in. What's the curl there? It should be negative. Let's see. -1 for this, partial q, partial x, minus partial p, partial y. Okay, so the y derivative of y minus x will be 1 minus 0. So we'll have -1 minus 1, so -2. And it's compressing, and we can see that with the divergence. So x partial derivative, 0 minus 1. That's the x partial derivative of p. And now y partial derivative of q, negative x. So that's just 0. So -1. Okay, so fun with that. Questions or comments? Should give you a little bit of a feel for what these are like. So now you can imagine things in 3D. You could imagine in 3D a vector field that was spinning about some axis or shearing. Or in 3D the fluid is spreading out. Or in 3D, the fluid is compressing. Okay, so 3D curl and divergence. So in 3D, usually a field is going to just be, in our book, if they want one symbol for the whole field, is probably F. And the x component Y component and Z component will be PQR instead of just PQ. Divergence is very similar. You can probably guess what divergence should be in 3D. Partial P, partial X, plus partial Q, partial Y, plus partial R, partial Z. Right? Yeah. Right. If you like it in terms of the partial derivative symbol, instead of my very succinct subscripts, you can write it this way. Okay? And so it has the same meaning. Divergence is positive, spreading out. Divergence is negative, compression. And divergence of zero, it's incompressible flow, as they say. Curl is trickier. Because now you can't just say, oh, we're turning clockwise or we're turning counterclockwise. Now you have to say we're turning about such and such an axis. So your curl is going to have to actually tell you that axis. Mm-hmm. So curl is actually going to be three numbers. Right? So here we had magnitudes, right? I mean, you'll notice that it doesn't always come out 1 or 0. Sometimes it comes out size 2. And bigger curls you could interpret as spinning around or shearing faster, right? And likewise in 3D, a bigger curl vector, as it will be, would mean you're spinning or shearing or rotating faster if you interpret as fluid flow.
So could magnitude be 3, negative 3?
Well, the magnitude, you'd throw away the minus sign. The magnitude could be as big or as small as you want. You just, if I multiply this vector field by 17, it'll multiply the curl by 17. Yeah. Okay.
So, here's how I remember it. I know it's going to have three parts, and the first thing I remember is that the Z part is the same as the 2D curl. So in a right-handed coordinate system, you could think of fluid flow that was, say, had no Z component at all. And maybe all the z partial derivatives were zero. So it was just horizontal flow, and maybe it was turning this way, right? This would be doing counterclockwise turning from above. And if my z-axis points up, then by the right-hand rule, I'm turning positively around the positive z-axis, right? So this kind of turning would be a positive z component of a curl and no x and y components. Right? So I remember this part first. Then I remember the other parts. And the way I remember them is I think, okay, that's how you get the z component. Z is not magical, right? It's just some coordinate system. X and Y are not better or worse than Z. They should all be treated equally. So you ought to be able to do the analogous thing, just having X, Y, and Z change their roles. So I think of this cycle here where X, Y, Z go around in a cycle, and P, Q, and R go around in a cycle to match. So I think, okay, I'm going to follow my little cycle here from the Z component over to the X component. So I cycle everything. So the Z part goes to the X part. So from here, I'm going to go over to here. So everything has to go around in this cycle. So the Q becomes the R. This is how I actually remember it. Okay? And then the X becomes the Y. And then the P becomes the Q. And the Y becomes the Z. So I just go around in that cycle.
And then I do the cycle one more time.
Did we do the cycle similar to this in some other?
Yes, this is how. This is also how I remember the cross product.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, often I've remembered the Z component of the cross product first, and then I've cycled through the rest. So finally, we take the X part, and we send it to, and we cycle to the Y part. So now my R here will become a P, and my Y will become a Z, and then this Q will become an R, and that Z will become an X. So I have to remember one of them, and then I just cycle through to remember the others. Not everyone likes to remember it this way. Some people prefer the determinants. So if you like determinants, you can write it this way. Compute that 3x3 determinant. If you're more comfortable with that, go for it.
You too. Yeah.
Okay. Curl is zero if and only if your field is locally a gradient. But now zero is a 3D thing. Now, the curl formula can be hard to remember in 3D. I will certainly admit that. It's easy to get one of the things backwards. So you just have to find whichever memory trick is the least bad for you, but really, you know, this is an open note test every time for this class, right? So write it down, have it on a little index card or something close at hand if you think curl will be on the final exam, which it very well might well be. I started talking about curl being zero if and only if there's a gradient, but then I thought, where am I going to write this? There, so. Yeah. So now, in 3D, you talk about it being zero in the sense of all the components are zero. That makes F locally a gradient of some function of three variables now, right? Okay. In general, you might have some problem with, again, a loop where in a big region it's not the gradient of one single function because things go bad when you go around a loop. But it's not quite as bad as in 2D because in 3D, if there's just one bad point, You can have a loop that was around that point, but you can go, you know, into the third dimension and just shrink your loop down to a point, so you can avoid just a point of discontinuity. You have to have a whole curve of discontinuity, like a whole ring of discontinuity or something to
really screw up things at the global level here.
Anyways. All right.
Okay.
So why don't you give me a 3D vector field now, and we can find the divergence and curl.
X minus Y squared.
X minus Y squared.
That's I.
X minus Y squared times I, yeah. And then what am I going to have times J? What's our Y component? Z squared minus 1.
Okay.
And we need a Z component.
XY.
Okay, so we'll do the easy one first. Okay, so what is the X partial derivative of X minus Y squared? 1. And what is the y partial derivative of z squared minus y? Negative 1. And what is the z partial derivative of x times y? 0. Right? Because you're holding x and y constant when you take the z partial derivative. Okay. And now we get to the curl, which has become a vector instead of just a number. Each of the three components of it measures whether you're turning or shearing clockwise or counterclockwise with respect to each of the x, y, and z axes. Okay, so the first component, partial r, partial y. Okay, so y partial derivative of x times y?
X.
Okay. Now, we subtract partial q, partial z. Okay, so z partial derivative of z squared minus y.
2z.
Yes. And then we go on to the y component. Okay, partial p, partial z. So, yeah, the z derivative of something that doesn't depend on z is 0. X minus y squared doesn't depend on z. Minus partial r partial x. So xy's x partial derivative is y. And then partial q partial x. Okay, so the x derivative of, q is over here, right? 0, right? This term doesn't depend on x. And finally, the y partial derivative of p.
Minus 2y.
Negative y squared. Yeah. Okay. So the divergence came out to just be 0. So I could describe this as incompressible. And the curl is definitely not 0. So it's not irrotational. It's not conservative. Right? So this is not the force field from some potential energy function. Okay, that means you could go on a loop around this. So take some loop in space and you could get the loop integral to come out non-zero. So if that was a force, it would be like, say, in a magnetic field, you can take a certain loop in a magnetic field and add or lose energy.
By a loop integral, do you mean line integral?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, a line integral that starts and ends at the same point, right? So, yeah. A circulation integral, but 3D, right?
was just thinking that it will be zero for some reason. But in this regard, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so picture I have in my mind is something like this. I imagine at some point the curl is pointing whichever way it points. And then I imagine with the right-hand rule that here I am turning around. Maybe I should use a different color. The curl can be a different color. You have the field F, and it's kind of turning around it according to the right-hand rule. Green one. You have some kind of picture like that, right? You're curling or shearing. And the curl vector, its magnitude tells you how fast or how strongly, and its direction tells you which way, according to the right-hand rule. What's our time? Okay. All right. I'm over time, so we'll say there's no homework today. So I will be in my office until 6, and then I'll be gone next week, but Dr. Mikhail will cover for me. So if you need to talk to me next week, send me an email, right?